Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and I'm going to talk to you today about the Kingdom of God. And we were talking this morning on several shows about folkhemmet, which is a Swedish word that I probably poorly pronounced, but it means the people's home. And it was a political idea that began way back in 1928, and I think Hansen brought it into Sweden around 1928, and about 1932, it started to be implemented through what they called the Social Democrat Party. And the Social Democrat Party was very popular. It was beginning very popular here in the United States. That's what we call the Democratic Party. And it was very popular in Germany, which we call the Nazis. And it was also getting popular in England. And basically, it was about social democracies. And this folkhemmet was supposed to be kind of a cross between the two of social democracy and what they call, at least in Wikipedia, as Western values and Western ideology. And I'm not sure what Western ideology is. I think it has to do with what you make is yours. What you earn is yours. And you have to figure out how to use it. And, of course, that was around in Europe for a long time. Socialism is a rather recent experiment in modern history. It's been around since the days of Rome. Rome instituted social democracy. Senators were elected, and senators elected emperors. And, of course, Rome was around for about 500 years before that. And they had social welfare, but it was originally all supported by free will offerings and by contributions of the people. And then they got the idea that, oh, let's force the offerings. And first they started forcing foreigners to pay. And then they started forcing the people themselves to pay, forcing the rich to pay. And, of course, that idea of taking care of the needy of your society has been around for even thousands of years before that. Christ was preaching it. Moses was preaching it. But the difference between Christ and Moses and Caesar and the Hansons and the Nazis and FDR is that Christ thought it should be done by faith, hope, and charity. Paul thought it should be done by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. Moses thought that you should love your neighbor and contribute to his welfare through a network of ministers that served 10 families. And then those 10 ministers gathered together and they formed a group, and they picked a minister who served them. And through this network of free contributions, they supported the entire national government of Israel. They supported the national government of the Teutons. They supported the national governments of many, many people. And I have no doubt that they didn't used to use the same concept in Sweden. And we talked this morning about what made the Swedish people the Swedish people? Well, obviously, they were all born in Sweden, except for Sweden wasn't called Sweden back in those days. They had another name they called it, and it wasn't one single country like we see today. But they did have kind of a common language, and even still today, often Norwegians and Swedes can kind of understand each other. They're different languages, but they have a lot in common. And so there is a connection between the two. But somehow or other, they've made this nation now they call Sweden, and in the 28s and early 30s, they started bringing this folkhemmet, which was this social democracy, this cross between social democracy and, I guess, the natural work ethic of peoples. In America, when it was first starting, we've talked about this before, about the pilgrims and who they call themselves friends. And then they called the other people who weren't pilgrims on the boat strangers, who outnumbered the pilgrims. And then there was other group down in Jamestown. And they had this idea of kind of a social democracy where to each according to his need and from each according to his ability. And they starved every year. And the hardship of those colonies spawned a new idea, which is actually an old idea, in the minds of the people, that suddenly said, from to each according to his ability, from each according to his charity. He would help out his neighbor as he needed to be helped. There was an amazing thing going on. I talked this morning about the early settlers. Some of the early settlers were just absolute vagabonds and treacherous individuals and the scum of the earth. Some. And even some of the pilgrims were not all that noble. They thought of themselves as noble. They thought of themselves as saved and the religious righteous. But they were actually a little bit sneaky. And we've talked about that too, about some of the things they were doing, some of the things that were dishonest. But the hardships of the wilderness brought out the best and worst in men, and the worst of men often died. Some of them were darn tough, and they lasted a long time. But success of a society, of a community, often depended upon the virtue of that community. They had to learn to trust one another. They had to learn to be diligent in their efforts. They had to be honorable, men of integrity. Because when you were down to the last of the food in your larder, who were you going to share with? The lazy, no-good-for-nothing, dishonest liars? Or the men who had been there for you when you needed help, and now you all needed help, and you worked together? The men who came over on the Sparrow, they were absolutely devastated by the hardships. Amazing they even made it to America with that flimsy boat. But there are stories of men who are already there, having a hard enough time as it is, dropping everything they're doing to go and save some of those men from certain death of starvation and help them out and protected them, even though they were completely unworthy of it. That builds the character of society. That you're flexing your virtuous muscle of society. When you take that need away, that need to choose to give up your day, your time, your energy for somebody else who you may not even know well or like, it alters you in a positive way. Unless, of course, you resent having to do it and do it begrudgingly, then it probably does not gain you any virtue whatsoever. But this is what Falconet stole from the people. It stole the environment that required mutual charity, mutual honor, mutual concerns for one another. It stole the need from the people to love their neighbor as themselves, which is a major theme of the Bible. Now, the modern church people, they go into the church and they love their neighbor from afar, you know, from the pew. Oh, yes, I love my neighbor. Oh, he needs something? Oh, well, sorry. Why doesn't he go to the government? The government has this free giveaway. They can get unemployment. He can get welfare, but the government can give you these things because they've taken them away from your neighbor. And many times your neighbor should have given them. There was a quote in the Bible, I should have looked it up before the show started, but from he who is given much, much is expected. That's a concept in the Bible. That's part of the ways of Christ. So what that means is the rich should give more because they're rich. And they're rich because society is there protecting them and providing a way in which they can become rich. And because through God's grace, you are healthy and you're strong and you're smart and you're rich, they should give more. But when you give the job of the government to take more, to take away that choice from the rich man to give more, choice shall be taken away from you. And the rich man can hire lawyers and he can make his position safe, like I talked about in the last program. They raise the taxes on the rich in England to guarantee more funds to come in for the social welfare program, and the rich actually pay less taxes. Well, wait a minute. That tax was designed to tax the rich more, to get more of their money, to provide for the social welfare, because they should pay more. But because you did it by law, because you did it by government, because you're taking away their right to choose, they just went out and hired lawyers and figured another way to organize their finances so that they paid less taxes. And actually, less taxes are paid. The more you attack the rich, the chances are they're going to have the means by which to pay less taxes. Yet, your government is still spending the money, and you are collateral for the debt of your government, so that's why everybody born in Sweden today is born in debt. Every child is born in debt. and you must register your child. It's illegal to teach your kids at home because they want you all in their social democracy. Who made it illegal to teach your kids at home? Well, Hitler did. And in many of the countries that have gone the ways of social democracy, they know they have to do this because they don't want you to see certain things. They know they have to keep information from you. They have to keep you thinking in certain ways because that's part of your environment. They must control your thinking environment. And again, going back to the earlier programs we talked about, there's a physical environment. We can look out, see that, tap on that. That's a physical environment. And when people came to America, they came to a wilderness that had a particular physical environment, you know, bears and wild Indians and terrible winters and endless forests in which there was no game or virtually no game. And so that environment caused the people to think a certain way. And that thinking changed the nature of society. If they didn't want to think that way, they didn't have to, but they usually died or find life very difficult. Or when they got old, nobody cared about them because they didn't care about anybody when they were young. And so they went back to England. If they made riches, they went back to England rich. If they didn't, they died. But those people who struggled to form a society by caring for one another became a different kind of people. And when you take that away, that part of your environment, the risk, the willingness to let your neighbor decide whether he's going to help you or not, and you take that out of society, you alter the course of society. It's like somebody brought a magnet near the compass on the deck of the ship, and now the ship is steering off course. And you must go with the ship. You must go with the flow. You've heard that expression. And I gave little hints this morning on the earlier programs. There's a collective consciousness out there. And when you're a part of that collective consciousness, which you are often more susceptible to when you're surrounded by a lot of other people, and they think a certain way, and they have a certain pattern to their thoughts. That pattern, you're bombarded with that. If you're in a crowded room, you're bombarded with that. I noticed many, many years ago that people have a certain state of mind. I have a tendency to be able to, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, you know, I've had people follow me with the intention of robbing me more than once, and I knew they were doing it. One time, crowded street, 1,000 people on the street, I spotted them. Before they even began to follow me, I knew my attention was drawn to them, you know, like a camera focusing in on them, and snapped a picture of them. And sure enough, they followed me and tried to mug me. And I was ready for them because I knew about it ahead of time. I knew they were doing this. Another time, I left a bank and somebody was following me in a car, and I spotted them. I knew it. I know other people that were driving around and somebody was stalking them and they never saw them coming. And to me, that was kind of, why didn't you see them? Didn't you sense that they were stalking you? Most people don't, because they're not attuned to what's going on around them. Okay, you're in the cities, you're in a crowded place. All these people are thinking thoughts along certain lines. Their pattern of their thoughts is channeled a certain way. You're affected by that stream of consciousness. You're also affected by the stream of unconsciousness, which is not really a stream at all, the absence of consciousness in certain areas. You become oblivious to them. You don't sense them. Okay, and I gave the example, some people go to the country, to an isolated house in the desert or in the mountains or on an island somewhere, and they're rejuvenated. They begin to think more clearly. Why? Because all that other static their brain is being affected by, and they don't even realize they're being affected by, it's gone. There's not all those other people. It's just gone, and they're recharged. Why? Because they actually want to know the truth. They don't want to settle for the tree of knowledge. Now, they may eat a great deal out of the tree of knowledge. You know, they may be very studious and very intellectual. They may do a lot of reading. They have a lot of facts and information. But that doesn't do you any good without the tree of life. Because the tree of life helps you sort the knowledge and gives you direction. Otherwise, it's just a sea of knowledge, and you'll just drown in it, forever studying and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Why? Because you're not eating of the tree of life, which is a state of being. You can't get near the tree of life until you're willing to see the truth mostly about yourself. Because when you get near the tree of life, the light that is there, and we're using metaphors here. Let's not get too carried away like you're drawing pictures and suddenly we have pictures of a tree of life and light shining out of it. I'm using, I'll call them dreamatic metaphors. It's like a dream where you get images that represent ideas. So the tree of life and this light that is standing there, the cherubim with this light that shines in all directions, when you approach that, you begin to see the truth about yourself. Most people stop real soon. They don't want to see the truth about themselves. They're too vain, they're too afraid, they're too arrogant, whatever, and they back away. And so they don't really get near the tree of life, so therefore they never have a way of sorting out all the information that's over there in the tree of knowledge. And they can be steered this way or that way by the ebbs and tides of society, turned to and fro by the endless wave action of the sea of people and a sea of minds. So you have to learn to be still and willing to see yourself as you really are. See the truth about yourself and about everything else around you. Most people don't want to do that. Most people don't go to the church to see the truth. They go to church to feel like they see the truth. They go to church for the feeling. And when I do my review of God is not dead, we'll talk more about that. But the point is that when you begin to see the truth about yourself, you begin to see that democratic socialism is coveting your neighbor's goods. It's a very easy thing to see. I mean, if you apply for a benefit from a bankrupt government, you're going to be cursing your children with the debt of that to pay for that benefit because they don't have the money. They're going to get it from the labor of your child in the future. So when you apply for a free education, your child is the one who's going to have to pay for it. When you apply for free health care, your child and your children's children will probably have to pay for it because it's all borrowed money in every country. It's always borrowing from the future. You curse your children with that debt because you've gone the way of social democracy. And social democracy, by its nature, is the majority of people deciding that we're going to take away from everybody, according to a certain way. We're going to give these people over here the power, the ones we elect, the power to take away from everybody. And the point I was making this morning is that Sweden was already taking care of the needy in their society. That's why they were sold this bill of goods of doing it through social democracy so easily. Because when you present it like, we need to take care of one another as if we were one big family. They said, well, sure, that makes sense. But they didn't realize that they're going to do it by force. Somebody's going to have the power to say, now it's time to give. You have to give this much. And you have to give this much. And you only get this much back. And the bureaucracy itself is going to make sure that it's well taken care of with pensions and all these things. And, you know, they're just going to make sure they don't get fired. Now, some of them will be more dedicated than others. But there's no governing factor. You don't have the power to really change. And if you start bringing in people who are going to vote in your society that just want the benefit, don't have the virtue that you obtained through centuries of living in difficult environment. You know, Sweden and Norway, they're beautiful countries, but there has been winters that destroyed, you know, just absolutely decimated the crops in the summer because there were changes, climate changes in the world. There has been in 500 and, what was it, 1700 and 1200, there were these different climate changes where suddenly the temperatures dropped and there were very short summers. Very little food was produced and people starved. They had to work together to get through that. They have to prepare for winter every year. They have to think ahead. They have to be aware of the seasons. They have to use their brain power to come up with solutions to problems because the environment is not so easy all the time. And so they learn to work together, and it changes the society. But now you're bringing in other people, and you're changing the people that are there where they don't have to take care of themselves. So anyway, I promised that in the third show on this series, I was going to talk about the sleeping mouse, which is actually an article written by Celia Farber, who lives in America and is an author. And she wrote an article about someone who actually may come to the Burning Bush Festival. I hear rumors that they may be coming. And, you know, they're a professor and head of a college or something like that, a very well-educated person. And Celia was visiting him on an island off the coast of Sweden in part of the archipelago, and she wrote a little article about it. And she talks about, the sun was beginning to set, and I'd brought out some sardine spaghetti and chilled rose wine before I asked my old friend to explain once and for all what exactly went down in Sweden before the war in terms of race biology, forced sterilization, and the troubled, muted business of, I'm not even going to attempt the Swedish word here, but it means the art of social engineering. And she goes on to say, in some way they had been socially engineered by social democracy and was possibly only, not entirely organic. And that's what they were beginning to realize. And many of the people in Sweden and Norway and some of these other places are beginning to realize. They're beginning to wake up to the fact that their society and even themselves has been altered. Their thinking has been altered by this effort at social engineering through social democracy, doing what is absolutely reasonable and wise for a society to take care of the needy of their society, as if they are one family. But they did it by empowering a few, giving power to some, not really making them kings as we think of kings, but having the kingly power. The government becomes the ruler rather than the servant. And it was as though he understood, it says, the outer edges of some kind of betrayal and was genuinely baffled by it. So he's thinking about these things, and he started reading our materials recently. This was back in 2012 that this article was written. So he was already waking up to something. And he would go to this island to think about these things. And he was trying to figure out what it was. And basically, there is no Santa Claus. Who is Santa Claus? This invisible bestower of gifts. Where does he get these gifts? Does he have some vast colony of enslaved elves in forced labor camps in frozen gulags somewhere in the North Pole? That's your neighbor. Gives you the state clause gifts of today. They are forced to give you what they have, a share of what they have, by this folk hymn. It isn't by charity. It isn't by the perfect law of liberty. It isn't by faith or hope that your neighbor will be there for you, but it's, you must give this now. You are required to give this now. Now, the state's not its money, so it's freely giving it away. And it has put every one of these countries into debt. So now if there's a great disaster, they had to go way in debt in order to meet the needs of the people, and they are probably incapable of doing it. And the people won't care for each other because they haven't been practicing those with those muscles. They haven't been exercising the virtuous muscles that made them a great nation. Now, some have, and it's still alive and well genetically somewhere down in the people's hearts and minds, but they are out of shape. And the last thing I was talking about in the other show is, you know, we always talk about spirit. Jesus breathed into the apostles and said, receive the Holy Spirit. God breathed into Adam and gave him the breath of life. We need some spiritual aerobics. We need to start taking care of one another, start looking in that direction with our extra time and energy. Not just us out here speaking and rebuking and saying, make straight the way of the Lord. You people on the ground where you live must step out your doors and try to find others that are beginning to wake up and gather together in your prayer closets with each other and see if you can't figure out ways in which you can help take care of one another. You do this to serve others. If you're not drawn to that, if you're just doing it so that you can survive, kill the spirit that you must actually receive. You destroy it. It cannot dwell in you if you have a selfish heart. You cannot approach the tree of life until you're willing to lay down your own desire to survive at the expense of your neighbor. It's the old red button story. You know, the red button. You get this box. You push the red button. Somewhere, somebody dies. You don't even know somebody dies. But you will get $1 billion. Do you push the button? I mean, the person who's going to die, he may be already about dead, you know. He's just on his deathbed. And, you know, it may be somebody who's a murderer and should die. You don't know. But you know you'll get $1 billion if you push that button. Do you push the button? And, of course, as the story goes, the guy pushes the button, and immediately he gets his $1 billion or $1 million, and inflation is $1 billion. And the guy comes to take the box away. And as he's going out with the box, the guy says, oh, where are you taking that box? Oh, I have to give it to somebody else now. Who are you going to give it to? He says, don't worry. It will be somebody you absolutely don't know. In other words, if that guy pushes the red button, the billionaire dies. But that's what socialism is. You want to take from your neighbor. Oh, sure, you want to do it fairly, but you don't really know how it's done. You know, there's a lady in Norway who's been making sweet rolls. You know, she knows several languages. She's had several businesses. She's got master's degrees. But she's decided that she's waking up that something's wrong in the system. A thing. And so she's going to, I emailed her some of our stuff just recently, and she responded back. But we may have her on a program here eventually, but she's making sweet rolls to support herself. Well, of course, the government comes in and arrests her, takes her house away, because she doesn't have a license to make sweet rolls. You know, authoritarianism. That she needs to pay the tax on making the sweet rolls. She makes the sweet rolls, she needs to pay the tax. Now she's not collecting the benefit. She doesn't want to be a part of a system of benefits that come by forcing your neighbor into debt and your children and your children's children into debt. She doesn't want to be a part of that system. She wants to live by her own means, by faith, hope, and charity. She wants to live by the spirit that many Americans came here to America to live by. She doesn't want to live by forcing her neighbor to contribute to her welfare. But her neighbors do not want to let her go. Now, I understand her spirit. But is she going about it in the right way? I don't know. We'll have to talk to her when we have her as a guest on the radio. But anyway, the reality is, what should have been for your welfare has become a snare. Paul told us this 2,000 years ago. And he's just quoting David, who said it 1,000 years before that. He's just quoting Moses, who said, love thy neighbor as thyself. If you sit and eat with a ruler, you be a man of appetite. Put a knife to your throat because he serves you deceitful meats. What's he talking about? He's talking about welfare that binds you by your prayers into a system where the state becomes your father. And so the theme that we've had in several programs is to live as if the state did not exist. That doesn't mean don't pay your taxes. It means live as if it's not going to be there for you. Uke, I think is the way you pronounce his name, who this article was about, this mouse that roared. It's not the mouse that roared. That's another story. I kept thinking of that when I was reading this article, though. But the sleeping mouse, maybe it will roar. Anyway, Uke explained all about the top Nazi who spent 8 years seeking answers to the futurist dilemmas of Europe through a burgeoning new science of racial biology. How and where exactly that science had lost its innocence. He says something else in Swedish here, which I will translate because I wouldn't dare try to say it in Swedish. biology lends itself to almost anything. And that, of course, is what happened and brought about a Holocaust. But it weren't the racial biology, you know, the superior race, wasn't just about racism. That was to cloak something else more insidious, a disease of the mind that allows us to think that it's okay to take away from our neighbor if it's for a good cause. I mean, it's for health care. It's for welfare. It's for old people. It is a violation of natural law that says what a man produces is his own. They don't want to see that. They're going to build a utopia by force, by control. And until John the Baptist, this is what people were thinking 2,000 years ago. Until John the Baptist, they tried to establish the kingdoms of the world by force. And now again, they're doing it. And they're doing it in Australia, and Sweden, and Norway, and Canada, United States, England, France, everywhere, South America, everywhere. They're going to establish their utopias by force. But John the Baptist said, no, if you have extra, share with those who don't have enough. And those who do that make a choice. Now, you have to be a little bit more organized than simply, you know, I actually saw somebody who needed help, and so I helped them. Because somebody's going to live where they don't see anybody needing help, and people will die nearby because they never went over there and checked. That's like you're going to herd sheep, but you're not going to look for the sheep. You know, they're out there somewhere. If I come across any sheep in the field that need help, I'll help them. No, first the sheep learn to stay together and learn to help one another. Yeah, you know, I just realized we didn't take a break. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. The Keys of the Kingdom.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. In the earlier show, we talked about a quote from somebody by the name of Charlemagne who wrote, "Does Sweden's nanny state only work in Sweden?" And we had also quotes from the article, "The Art of Fooling the Swedish People," which was posted back in 2019 by Baron Boudice. He pointed out that this Swedish model of social democracy seemed to work because of a set of cultural virtues unique to Sweden and to other countries. And we also talked about why those virtues were present in those people, because it was hard living in those places, farming in such a wintry climate. I mean, they had the Gulf Stream come up there and gave them a long growing season, and they could grow food, but winter would come, and you had to prepare for that. And when there was these long winters, short summers, periodically over the centuries, it was absolutely essential that the individuals in society be industrious, diligent, which is one thing that Christ says we should be diligent to show ourselves approved. They had to be thrifty, make what they had last and work. So they had to think out the whole season, year to year, what are we going to do? Things weren't always easy, and that sharpened the virtuous skills of the people. They had to be intelligent about things. They had to be honest to create that trust and integrity amongst their fellow man. In this new system, they don't need all that. They can get by without it, and they can actually produce, like the man who has 26 children by 15 different women and lives completely on the government dole. Although he says he's not on government dole, but on some sort of pension. The reality is that that's his lifestyle, not work. Government pays for everything. And that comes about because we've altered our political environment. We've altered our physical environment because now we have all these gifts and gadgets of our cleverness. But they can be swept away overnight because they almost all depend on electricity. All your fuel, your water, everything depends on electricity. That could go away in a blink of an eye. In a twinkling of an eye, it could all go away for months, maybe years. I just saw the movie Godzilla, a new one, and they would have these EMPs and all the power would go out, and then about 10 minutes later, all the power would go back on. That's not the way they work. That's going to blow out fuses and melt down circuits, and power's not going to go on in 10 minutes. I mean, you could have an EMP from the sun where the power wouldn't go on for 6 months. And after 6 months of no power, chances are it's not going to go on even then. We don't make our generators anymore, our big, massive generators. They're made in China, and they're made to order. And we don't have 100 of them sitting on the shelves. And we've seen them melt down from coronal mass ejections from the sun. So all that's possible. You're not ready. But the real thing is you're destroying your society. You're destroying the virtue in your people. You're falling into a sea of thinking that has swept you away and is draining you. We talked earlier in a previous show about those people who are recharged again when they go out and they isolate themselves. While other people go out and isolate themselves, they become actually nervous and agitated. They must get back to the crowd. Why? Because they are feeding on the energy of the crowd. You're taking a bite out of one another politically, economically, mentally. You're not allowing people to think what they want to think. That's why you can't allow homeschooling. And you're actually doing it spiritually. And that's the most significant, because all the physical reality of your world is the result of what is already taking place spiritually inside of you. If you want to devour your neighbor rather than let your neighbor live, if you want to take a bite out of your neighbor rather than suffer a loss yourself, and see, that wouldn't have worked in a difficult environment. That spirit will be killed out in a difficult environment, in hard times, because it doesn't function according to the natural law in a way that will bring about survival of your community, of your village. You have to be self-sacrificing. You have to be diligent in what you do. And so, but that's a spiritual choice that you make somewhere deep down in the recesses of your being, not up there in your head where you think you're really great. You know, we're always, you know, they say we're better online. Well, you're better in your imagination than you are in real life, although some of you may beat yourselves up a lot more. I often find the people who are always beating themselves up, they never go near their real problem. They're always beating themselves up about other things that really don't, they're not the big problem. Because they're beating themselves up about those little things so that they don't have to go near the big problem. And the big problem in all of us, it varies, but there, at least in all of us, is selfishness. That's why, you know, God made man. It made us different because it tests the metal of our being. You know, the man will be always tempted to dominate the woman, to rule over the woman, because he's bigger, he's stronger, you know, and she is often more clever in some ways. You know, left brain, right thing, she has a different, more intuitive perspective. She can manipulate that man, and that's her power. And so it's a battle of who's going to have power over who. But in real life, the real way it should be in that relationship of man and woman should be love for one another. The only battle is in how do I, you know, it's the gift of the Magi. It's how do I be of better service to my wife? How do I be of better service to my husband? That's the battle you want. How do I give my life to my children in a way that make my children stronger? You see, you're winning the battle if that's your attitude, if that's the spirit that dwelleth in you. And it will lead you to start waking up to the truth. And sometimes to the truth about yourself and realizing, you know, I was selfish there. And the more you wake up there, the more you will see those guys stalking you on the street that intend to mug you. The more you will see what's really behind the fulcrum that they were erecting in their society. And in the article, she writes, and what it was all about, the utopian dream of social democracy, to build a perfect country that would have everything going for it, except the quality, perhaps, of being a country. What is that quality? Identity, free will, and destiny. He talks earlier in the article about how they were setting up what he referred to as air stewardesses in the community, that when you were going somewhere, they would point the way. This is the way to the library. This is the way to the school. This is the way you need to walk. This is, and it's a very subtle thing, and you think, well, what's the harm in that? But you're not making the choice. You're becoming like Pavlov's dog. They say, go here, you go there. You jump through this hoop, jump through that hoop. And eventually they have you jumping into a cage, into a net. You become followers. You need to be following something that is leading to life, not leading to being controlled by others. And the first step in towards regaining control of your own life is to let others have control of their life. This is why Christ said, forgive so that you may be forgiven. Give so that you may be given too. Become a doer of the word. What's the word? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love righteousness. We just recently had a discussion on one of the groups about intellectual property. Somebody is saying, well, intellectual property doesn't exist. It's all in our imagination. Well, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. And after numerous emails, he can't quite grasp what it is that we're trying to explain. So I created an actual web page on intellectual properties on the wiki. Everybody should be joining the Living Network. Everybody who's interested in seeking freedom. Not just for themselves, but for others. Start with your children. Are your children, are your grandchildren going to be free? Where is the direction? Where is society being taken? You know, earlier we gave you descriptions of how Sweden has this dark side now of ghettos and places where the police and the fire department services don't even want to go unless they go in force because it's so dangerous. It wasn't that way before in Sweden. Something is creeping in and rotting it out from the inside. And some people are, you know, like the sleeping mouse, waking up. They're not dead. They're waking up. God is not dead. He's all around you. His spirit is all around you. He is a giver of life. Unless you become a giver of life, you will not hear his wisdom. Somebody else will give you wisdom. They will give you diplomas. They will give you degrees and say you are smart, you are intelligent, because you are doing what I say is good. But if you contradict that, they will arrest you. They will take your home away from you. They will take your children away from you. You see it growing in these other countries day by day. And you're not going to defeat it by joining the game and fighting against them with your own force and power. You will defeat them by letting in that spirit of life in you. Start to walk in those ways. You will become invincible. You will be taken off the menu. They will not. When you walk into the room, the evil people there will go to the other side or leave the room altogether. Christ could have stopped them at any time in their attempt to crucify him and kill him. But he wouldn't play their game. Now, I know a lot of people who might be listening to this don't really believe in Christ. They may even think of that whole story as a fable. And the reality is I've seen this at work. That evil can't go near real righteousness. Self-righteousness, fine. With throwing self-righteousness in jail and beating the tar out of them, because it's not real. And that's one of the problems with modern Christianity. They're not really walking in the ways of Christ. They get all excited and emotional, and we'll go through that when we do our movie review of God is Not Dead. But you're caught up. The whole world is caught up in a way of thinking. And when you go into the cities, you begin to think that way. When you go in and work in the bureaucracies, you begin to think that you are changed by their thoughts. And you can't entertain the thoughts that are contrary to that. It's a drug of society. These socialist governments are like religions. That was one thing that was interesting in that movie, where the teacher says that there isn't a God of the universe. That's what he was claiming, and that was the whole thing of the movie. But he says, in my classroom, I am God. I will tell you what you can think and what you can't think. You have to admit this, or you will not pass this course. He's trying to force. You see, completely the opposite of what Christ was doing. Christ came to give you a choice. Follow him or not. If you don't follow him, certain things are going to happen. The problem is most Christians aren't really following Christ. They're following in the ways of the Pharisees. And they can't see this. So if you get away, somebody was up here visiting just recently, and they said they were just overwhelmed how they were so renewed because of the fact that we're so isolated from everybody else. And even when people come up here, we give them lots of space. That's one thing we have an abundance of, is space. And they can become renewed because we're not forcing them to do anything. This is where freedom is. People don't even know freedom anymore. They don't. What are those three things that he mentions? Identity, free will, and destiny. Your destiny is predetermined by the current of society, which is fastly and rapidly moving towards destruction. You must step out of that current. Seek the rock, the dry land of righteousness. That's why, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that look like? It looks like people taking care of themselves and one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. This is what the Christians were doing, and you couldn't stamp them out. They lost sight of that. You know, along 600, 800, 900 AD, they became complacent. Life became too easy, and rose up a dragon in their midst, a beast. And by 1066, and with de Bullion and Stephen and William the Conqueror, and suddenly the Inquisition, millions and millions of people were put to death. Real Christianity had to go underground. But real Christianity isn't born from books. It's born from the Spirit. But all new life must be nurtured. If God gives you the wisdom to see that the ways of charity are the ways of life, the ways of giving life is the way of having life more abundant, if he shows you that, you must begin to act upon it, and preferably act upon it with others, giving and forgiving, joining the Living Network, wherever you are, and gathering with other people who believe they want to go this way, and challenge one another, rebuke one another, strive together with one another, and develop those relationships of trust and honor and integrity and industriousness that will save society, or what's left of society, when things begin to completely fall apart, which they have to do even without catastrophes and cataclysms and what have you, false flags and conspiracy theories or whatever. When you start going that other way, a creative force enters into you that will guide you individually, and so that you can walk together in righteousness. And you will need a miracle. And that is how the miracle comes, is that you come together to sacrifice yourselves as Christ came to sacrifice himself for you, but you come to do it for others. Like I say, for your children, for your grandchildren, but for your neighbor's children and grandchildren. Expand that circle of love and sacrifice out in everything that you do, and you will become a conduit for that life that we see dwindling out of society, societies like Sweden and Norway, and we can go down to other countries as well, but I was just kind of focusing on that for these three shows. But we've already done one on Australia and New Zealand, and of course I do it every day on America and the directions that Americans have gone and Canadians have gone, and it's eating away, but they like to think that it's still working, that it's going to keep on working. Wishful thinking. You need to awaken and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will start to fall into place. And until you do, I'm going to wish you peace upon your house. And may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.